Jared and the GM, a special early edition of Jared and the GM. Preds pregame at 1 o'clock. Preds puck drop at Punch and Judy, Colorado at 2 o'clock. Although, I don't know if we can really call anybody Punch and Judy right now the way the Preds are playing. But we are live out at Corner Pub out here in Brentwood. Again, once again, come on out and register to win your trip on the Yeehaw Brewing Company bus trip to St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th. Of course, Yeehaw, our friends here, they are located at Bridgestone Arena inside of the stadium, outside of Section 107, and they've got their flagship beer, Dunkel, a German dark lager. So we'll get back to your calls on the Patriots in just a second. But Floyd Reese.
Sure.
What is the NFL going to do about what happened in the Saints game? I know that there are bad calls, and bad calls are part of sports, especially sports that have a human element, and I'm not here to knock on that or bang on that or whatever. But what happened in the Saints game, I think you and I both can agree, is completely unacceptable.
Oh, there are several calls that were unacceptable,
but
yes.
That call in that situation with that on the line, and I know one call shouldn't be more important than the next call, but it is. And that legitimately cost the Saints a trip to the Super Bowl. And it gave the Rams a trip to the Super Bowl that they don't deserve. You know, again, the first time I've ever said this in my life, and I've been watching football since I was 9 years old, they are the illegitimate NFC champions. They should not be in the Super Bowl. So what do we think the NFL is going to do about this? Because we know the NFL is not going to retroactively take the Rams out of the Super Bowl and put the Saints in.
No.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that game's done.
But we know they're going to have to, you know, release a statement, or the commissioner is going to have a press conference, or they're going to have to do something. And then I think the league always reacts in situations like this. I think the league always, you know, we beg and cry for something for years and years and years, and then finally something happens, and then we finally get our way. We wanted a playoff in college football forever. They told us no, 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 no. Then Alabama and LSU got matched up in the championship game, and now there's a 14 playoff. You know, we've seen this in sports. I believe the NFL is going, starting next season, to make a rule that pass interference is a reviewable call under 2 minutes. So the coach can't challenge a pass interference call, but that under 2 minutes, that if there is a questionable pass interference call or no call, that they will blow it dead, and then they will go take a look at it and rule on pass interference. Now, I don't know how I feel about that. I actually think that probably would be a good thing for the NFL, but I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I don't see anything like that happening. I think, if anything, I mean, they may come out and fire these officials, or they may fine them or suspend them or whatever the case may be, which we've seen happen before. You know, is that the solution? No. Is it some kind of punishment? Sure. Does it make any difference? No. You know, until we decide we're going to do something, until the league decides it's going to do something long-lasting and permanent, then I don't know what. You know, it's going to be – the league is the worst ever at being proactive on anything. You know, the league is completely reactive, and the league is often – wrong reacting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't, I can't, we've been through, you know, the number of assaults and whatever it is you want to throw into the pie, but there are a number of instances, circumstances and incidents that we have seen that the league has tried and tried to do it right, and they just can't do it.
Well, it's like the helmet hit. You know, they tried. They were going to call that this year. How many helmet hits do we see yesterday? No flags anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Roger is part of this, because as good as Roger is at some things, the worst thing he does, in my opinion, is legislate punishment. And he needs to get away from that. You know, give it to somebody else, get a committee, however they're going to handle it. But they need to figure something out. Because he is not good at that. And I'm saying the league. But until we decide to say, hey, we're going to get full-time officials, we're going to, you know, do this as professionally as we can. And even then, there are going to be problems. I mean, let's face it, The game is just too fast. It's too many forces, too high stakes. You know, there's too much involved in all of these kinds of things. And the officials have for years and years said, okay, when it gets to this time of year, because there is so much at stake, you know, we're talking about playoffs and Super Bowls and championships and all that, we want to make sure we don't determine that. Let them do it on the field. And everybody knows when you get into the playoffs at this point in time, there are things that you can do that you could not do in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's and the part that's sad is it's not like that's a surprise to anybody in the league. You know, everybody knows, okay, it's playoff time. Now, keep in mind, when they play, this is how they're going to call this. And there are certain things that they'll call and flash, certain things they let go. And I think because of that altering of the rules, even though it's not major, it still affects the outcome of the game.
So I agree with you, number one, that they need to have full-time officials. I have never not agreed with that. There's too much money in the league for them to not put some money back in full-time officials. I mean, how much money is that really going to cost the NFL to have full-time officials as opposed to part-time officials? $15 million maybe? I don't know. That's like one Cleveland Browns versus Cincinnati Bengals game on television. I think you'll be okay without the $15 million or whatever it would cost. I think that for sure is number one. I think the other thing that works against the refs is everything has gotten better around them. The players have gotten bigger. They've gotten faster. The game has gotten faster. The replays have gotten slower. They're high definition. And now every game has a – I mean, how many times – now, for you, it's probably different because you've been paid multi-million dollars to know these rules. But there's so many times during the games that I'm like, what is that? And Jim Nance immediately, Gene Steratore, Gene, what do we have here? Well, he's lined up outside the number, and if the guy is lined up inside the number, that's technically a 15-yard penalty. But because both guys are lined up outside the number, it's not a penalty. And I'm sitting there like, huh, okay, Gene. Like, hey, if Gene says it, it must be true. If Pereira says it, it must be true. There were ones yesterday where there were plays where they're showing the replay, and Romo's like, I don't know if he got in it. I'm like, Tony, shut up, Gene. What happened, Gene? Tell me, Gene. And so now we have these ref, you know, we have these like ref analysts who are sitting there saying the refs did a bad job. So now we know the ref did a bad job. Because you could argue certain things. They're like, was that pass interference? Now, the one in the Saints, that was pass interference. But you can, like, argue those kind of things. But now it's like, what does Gene think? Gene? And so I'm getting to that point where it's unfair to the refs. And the league doesn't really, in my opinion, do anything to protect the refs, really. I mean, other than not let them have press conferences. But so I guess I'm looking at it like I think it would benefit the refs to have pass interference be a reviewable call under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't, you know, again, if they,
it's reviewable in Canadian football.
They're going to say, well, you know, what happens if it's pass interference in 4 minutes? It can still cost you a game.
I know.
Either way.
I know.
So then
but,
all of a sudden they're going to say, oh, okay, well, then it needs to be 4 minutes.
But
then
we can't have.
Here's the problem they
we
run
can't
into
let,
with all those.
We can't let pass interference become a challengeable play outside of 2 minutes. Because if that's the case, then every pass interference is going to get challenged.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, and there is pass interference on every play. It's like holding. There is holding on every play. There is some kind of hands to the face mask. How many face masks did you miss yesterday? I mean, I bet I saw 4 or 5 clear face masks that were missed. Those kinds of things happen in the game. And
well, Gene didn't point out 4 or 5 to me.
If you start legislating all of those things, pretty soon the game's 6 hours long. You know, you can't, and they cannot do that. The games are going to be 3 hours, and whatever you need to get done in that 3 hours, you go ahead and do it. So I think that would become as big an issue as anything else.
Back to your calls, 615-737-1025. That's on the table now. Again, I think pass interference is going to become a reviewable play under 2 minutes from the booth. I just think that's what's going to happen starting next season. That's just my prediction. But we'll take your phones and your thoughts on the officiating in the end of that Saints game. Plus, of course, any thoughts on the other game are on the table as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. CBS's coverage of the Patriots and the Chiefs did a 31.2 rating in 56 metered markets in America, up 26% from last year's conference championship game, and the highest overnight for an NFL conference championship game in 7 years. And that's pretty crazy. I mean, we were talking before the show that the ratings were going to be
Big number.
For the Patriots game, and they were. 615-737-1025, live from Corner Pub in Brentwood. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Frustrating, you know, just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call, and, man, there are a lot of opportunities, though, but that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call, and it's where it's at. So it's disappointing. Credit the Rams. They made enough plays, though. They won the game. The kicker made some big kicks. But for a call like that not to be made, man, it's just hard to swallow. It was simple. They blew the call. They said it should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. There were two calls. They couldn't believe it. So that was – no, we spoke initially, then I called to follow up. And first thing Al said when I got on the phone.
Floyd, what do you think about that? Usually coaches have the approach of one call didn't cost us the game. There were a lot of plays in the game that we should have made, and we congratulate the Rams and da-da-da-da. But there's Sean Payton basically just going on and on and on about how that call cost them the game, which it did, and the Saints were cheated out of that. You got a problem with that as a football guy?
A problem with which part?
Sean Payton complaining on and on about the call?
No. I mean, there's coaches complain about calls all the time. They usually end up getting fined. But I mean, you'll find coaches complain about refs and calls and
on a
weekly basis.
No way Sean Payton gets fined for that.
Huh?
There's no way they can fine Sean Payton for that.
If they consider it being critical of officiating, they certainly can.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
Oh, I don't know if they will.
Can you imagine if it comes out that Sean Payton gets fined $100,000 for criticizing the refs? I mean, then it'll just launch back into how bad did the NFL screw up the game and cost them the Super Bowl? Because it'll come out like next Thursday. So instead of talking about the Super Bowl, we'll talk about them fining Sean Payton for screwing his team out of the Super Bowl. Just unbelievable. The commissioner does have the power to retroactively change a result of an NFL game. It's not comprehensible that he could change this one. But if this was a regular season game, I'd say change it. Seriously.
They won't change it.
There's a reason that rule's there to allow the commissioner the ability to do something exactly like this.
Yeah.
So change it.
They won't change it.
And again, I believe that pass interference under 2 minutes will now become a reviewable play from the booth. Jared and the GM are live at Corner Pub in Brentwood, again, registering people to come and win a trip on the Preds, the Yeehaw Company, Brewing Company bus trip. See the Preds take on St. Louis live in St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th. I'll be on the bus trip. It should be a fun time had by all. Let's go back to your phones on both games. 615-737-1025. Mark is up next on the Patriots and has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. You guys, I had called with one comment, but you kind of moved on to the other thing, and now it's like I want to make like 20 comments.
Give us one on both games. I will be kind because you held for a long time. So give us one on both games.
I'll make it quick. Based upon what you all were just talking about, I was thinking, what if they – and, you know, Floyd, I understand that that you believe that the league is really slow moving and it's very like the government in that way. But I was going to say, what if they gave each coach one review of a non-call in a game, in playoff games? If they got one, for the entire game, they got one call, one review they could have if they think a penalty was not called, and they could review it.
Floyd, what do you think? Thank you for your call, Mark. Sorry, I forgot your Patriots take.
The other point I was going to make is, and I've heard Floyd talk about this many times this year. Everybody, y'all were talking about the brilliance of McDaniel and Brady and everything, and there's no doubt that they're really brilliant. But every replay they showed, especially on those runs, nobody missed a block. They made all the blocks. And to me, I'm thinking, well, it could be a brilliant play or not really brilliant play, but if everybody's making the blocks, that play is going to work. And so anyway, that was my original comment, and I'll shut up and y'all just go ahead.
Thank you for the call, Mark. I think we'll hit them both. Let's start with the first one, his theory about the idea of changing, allowing coaches to challenge like one penalty a game or whatever he had.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that. I don't think they're going to expand the flag rule. I mean, I don't think they'll give you an extra challenge to do that. But, I mean, if we think it would help. They could do that. I personally don't, you know, it's the same deal. If you only have a limited number of things and all of the things that you know you're going to have to challenge at a point in time, when do you use them? You know, you just don't know. Is the pass interference that happened on the first series in the third quarter going to make a difference in the game? It could, but you don't know that in the first series of the third quarter. And so I think, you know, if it's a pass interference made on the last play of the game, sure, everybody knows that that could have an effect on the game. But, I mean, it just makes it hard. But if they wanted to, you know, let coaches do that, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I'm telling you, this is what happens with the league, is the league is so reactive that they will change the rules somehow, some way. And I told you what I think it's going to be. I think that you will review pass interference under 2 minutes. The booth will trigger it if they feel the need to. I think the league has become so reactive that it jumbles the rules up so much. I mean, go back to the catch rule that we didn't understand for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the new catch rule tells us Dez Bryant didn't catch the ball in Green Bay, and now the Cowboys lose because Dez didn't catch it because he caught it and tried to stretch it out for a touchdown. And the one little microfiber of that ball touched one little microfiber of the green grass, and so the Packers win a playoff game and the Cowboys because Dez didn't catch it. And then they change the rule again because it doesn't make any sense anymore. And then it's like, what are you doing here? And I'm telling you, that's what the league does, and that's what's going to happen with this.
Well, I think, see, the problem is this. I mean, the PI at the end of that game, there was no discussion on is it a PI or is it not. You know, give me a definition of PI. I mean, everybody saw it. Everybody knows it was PI. It's not a matter of, you know, was it or wasn't it. It was a matter of why wasn't it called. And I think therein lies the issue. But that doesn't have anything to do with the rule.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the officials. And so, again, I go back and get away from the rule. I mean, I don't think you need to expand the rule. I mean, it's not gonna affect it one way or the other if it's called correctly. And if you call it correctly, all these changes that you want to make in the rules are, you know, they're not going to have an effect on anything. But if you're not calling them correctly, then, yeah, you've got to have rules to back up the rules you have. So I would think, in my mind, the number one issue is let's just get it called correctly. And if we can get that part of it done, the rule's fine.
What did you think about the other part of that guy's call and the fact that we were talking about Brady and McDaniels and everything else, and then he says on those runs, not one guy missed a block?
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line was spectacular. It really was. And this is, again, this is an offensive line that's, you know, Dante Scarnecchia, who's the offensive line coach at New England, has been there forever. He is a legend. And this is just what we were talking about. Here's a group of guys that were the right tackle. Cannon, mm-hmm. We drafted in the fourth round when I was there, had cancer his senior year. And he had to get to the Patriots. We had to work him through all the cancer treatments, finally got him in remission, had to gain all his weight back, had to do all of those things to get him to the point that he could play. And now he's playing and really playing well. But that whole offensive line, I mean, nobody knows who those guys are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no All-Pros. There's no Pro Bowl guys. There's just a group of guys. But when it comes to them executing as a group, I mean, they are flawless. And once again, I think that's just indicative of what they expect and what they teach at New England.
So that's one of the things that I really like about Mike Vrabel is that I was telling you earlier today, I watched a 20-minute speech Warren Buffett gave a bunch of young professionals, and Warren Buffett didn't talk anything about stock prices or investing money or anything, but Warren Buffett went over individual companies that started from almost nothing and how they made them into multi-million and billion-dollar companies. He used a furniture store that was started with $2,500 in Omaha that later got sold for $60 million. And then he used Enterprise Rent-A-Car as the other one, which was started with 7 cars, then got to 17 cars, and could not compete with the other companies, but they offered better customer service. And Warren Buffett talked for 22 minutes. This is Warren freaking Buffett. And Warren Buffett talked for 22 minutes about customer service and treating the customers right and doing all of that. And the reason I bring that up is because those are the things in which are day-to-day things. Like if you're focused day-to-day, if you're running your businesses on customer service, that is not easy to do. And it's not easy for everyone in the organization to show up to work every day ready to work and not just put in the minimum amount of work, but for the 10 hours they're there, put in everything that they have in them and then kind of take it home with them and then pick up right where they left off the next day. And yet New England has built it to a culture to where that's just what you're supposed to do when you go to New England. And I envy what they have. Like I think the Titans are building a culture like that. Now they got to get some better players, but I think the Titans are kind of building a culture along those lines. Maybe not perfect or anything like that, but they still have a long way to go in terms of that culture kind of syncing up with what everything is in New England. And it's like I think the average fan does not appreciate how hard in pro sports when the guys are making millions of dollars and can make millions and millions of dollars to go to loser teams that don't make you do those kind of things, how hard that is to do. And I appreciate that.
Well, yeah. I mean, the average person, forget the average. I mean, no one, if you haven't been there, you really don't know what it's like and what they do and what they ask them to do and what they do on their own. I mean, this, it is off the charts for people to think you work hard in whatever it is you do. And many of you, I'm sure, do. I mean, the number of hours, the consistency, the way they do things. And Bill, you've heard me say this 100 times. Bill, bring the players in at the beginning of the year and say, let me tell you something, guys. This program is not for everybody. I mean, everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to be a champ. Everybody wants all of those things. But not everybody will fit into this program. And you see it on a yearly basis. There's a guy here and a guy there that will drop out or get traded or whatever the case may be because he can't fit in because it is hard. I mean, hard with a capital H. And if you are not willing to do what everybody else does, then you know what? You get weeded out.
Was it hard for you? I mean, even though you've been in the league for 35 years and you had done all that.
It's hard on everybody, yeah. I mean, it's hard. It wasn't hard for me from an hour standpoint or from a – it was hard – adjusting what you've done for so long to what it is they do. But once you do that, then you're fine. You know, you're off and running. But to take the average guy, you know, if you come in from another team, you say, okay, what time? Well, we got to be at the locker, be in the locker room at 8 o'clock. And then what time do you leave? Well, we're done about 4. Okay. How often do you meet? Well, that's not New England. at New England, they are in there at 4:30 and 5 o'clock lifting weights. They are in there watching tape. They are working all day long. They go out and have the hardest practices in the NFL, in my opinion, without a doubt. Then they go to meetings after that. Then they have dinner. Then they have night meetings. Then they, instead of getting home at 4, now they're getting home at 10. Well, you know what? Some guys are willing to do that if you know you're going to win championships, if you know you're going to win games like yesterday, but not everybody is.
Well, I go back to McCourty.
And the truth is, not everybody can do it. You know, not everybody can keep up like that.
Well, they had McCourty yesterday was holding up the trophy, Jason McCourty, saying, you know, I'm going this time. Not as Devin's guest, but I'm going to the Super. You know how many games McCourty's lost? You think McCourty cares about working extra hours to get to the Super Bowl when he's been in the league for 10 years and has never won a game, and now he's going to the Super Bowl? And that's the kind of guy that they want in there, because that's the kind of guy they know will put in the work and will do what's told and all those kind of things. Let's go right back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Live out at Corner Pub in Brentwood. Once again, $1 off Yeehaw Drafts during all Preds games. We'll have giveaways today. We are registering people to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Company bus trip to St. Louis, but also we've got a grill we're giving away, we've got a cooler we're giving away, and much, much more. Visit Yeehaw Brewing Company at Bridgestone Arena outside of Section 107. They've got their flagship beer, Dunkel, a German dark lager from Corner Pub in Brentwood. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Quick snap, Breeze. Pass is incomplete. No flag for Tommy Lee Lewis. Nickell Roby Coleman delivered a hit. And the two officials talk to each other. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline.
Well, if Nickell Roby Coleman plays the ball, it's an interception. He's probably going the other way with it. I mean, the ball's on the other side of Roby Coleman. But that should have been a penalty. And Sean Payton is justifiably upset.
Mike Pereira, if that was a penalty, that would have in essence ended the game. Did you think it was a penalty?
Yeah, I really do. I know it's easy in slow motion. They're close to bang, bang, but that was early enough, even high contact.
The non-pass interference penalty heard around the world. Jared and the GM live at Corner Pub in Brentwood. A special time for us. Hey, I can get used to this little middle of the day show.
Yeah.
Getting home. We'd be getting home at 2:30.
Sure.
I mean, I'd say this. I kind of get in there. Tell Darren and Willie, you know, watch your back. You know, I mean, I don't know. Buzz, we're live out here at Corner Pub. We're registering people to win a trip on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. How about this? Right down the pipe from Pro Football Talk. NFL coaches may be allowed to throw the challenge flag for pass interference penalties next season. Mark Maskey of the Washington Post reports that coaches' challenges may be used on pass interference and potentially other penalties starting in the 2019 preseason. Quote, it will be discussed at length along with additional fouls that coaches feel should be subject to review, one source says. That falls in line with my theory that I think that next season pass interference will be a reviewable penalty under 2 minutes to go in a game, and it will come from the booth.
But they're sounding like they're going to do it
for the coaches
through the game.
Yeah, now that might get
a little whole game
wild and crazy.
I mean, again, if you force them to use one of their challenges to do it,
then in the third quarter, are you going to use it when you don't know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. The other thing that I should point out, Cleet Blakeman and his crew, other than the roughing the passer on Brady that was, you know, kind of
kind of
crap. Other than that one,
didn't touch him.
Cleet Blakeman and his crew, I thought, did a good job. You know, they did a good job. And we only talk about the bad reffing and not the good reffing. And there was at one point when New England was offsides and Kansas City hit a ball right at the end of the game down the middle of the field, and it stopped the clock for them to call offsides on the Patriots, and Cleet Blakeman was trying to figure out the clock situation, that he, in fact, went over to the ref, the alternate ref, and they talked about it with the league office about what the game clock should be, and I appreciate them taking the time to get that right. Let's go to your phones as promised. Let's go to Rick, who's up next on the officiating. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, guys. How's it doing today?
Good.
Hey, about that blatant call at the end of the game, but I think we all agree that it was an extremely bad call. They missed it. And Fred was talking earlier about, you know, maybe they were talking about an uncatchable ball. Well, it wasn't. But if we went with that, that still doesn't dismiss the fact that they missed the helmet-to-helmet contact that they call all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, Rick, I appreciate your call. I mean, to me, I don't believe that their cover story was that it wasn't a catchable ball, only because Bill Vinovich did not bring that up with the pool reporter after the game was over. You know, that's all I got to say on that one. I mean, look, they screwed that. There is nobody, and I can't promise you this because I don't know who that official was. That, you know, who what would it be, the umpire and the side judge, or the back judge and the side judge that missed that call?
Lineman and back judge. I don't know who it is, who it was.
There's nobody sicker today than those guys.
Oh, no.
I mean, those guys, trust me, those guys know they screwed up.
Especially depending on where they live. Ooh, could be ugly. And I don't know where they live, but
you know, and that's why, like, I didn't like Vinovich's answers after the game, but Vinovich is just trying to protect those guys. You know,
and I'm sure the league probably said, hey, you know what, keep it down until we figure this thing out.
Yeah, I mean, if they're calling Sean Payton, if they're calling Sean Payton right after the game's over, they're obviously talking to Vinovich.
Oh, yeah.
Before anything. This is the conversation. So the way this works is refs do not have press conferences. There is a pool reporter who is assigned to essentially ask one-on-one off camera with the ref. It is the pool reporter's job to represent the whole media. So one person goes and is assigned before the game as the pool reporter and then talks to the head ref, and that's it. And there's no cameras and there's no nothing. So Amy Just, who covers LSU for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, and, you know, whenever your team's in the conference championship, every writer for your paper is basically there, every sports writer. Amy Just covers LSU for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. She was the pool reporter. This is the conversation. Quote, what was the reason that there was no penalty flag called on the Drew Brees pass to Tommy Lee Lewis? Bill Vinovich, quote, it was a judgment call by the covering official. I personally have not seen the play. Just, did the timing of the game have any impact on the no call there? Vinovich, absolutely not. In this situation, is the play subject to an instant replay review? Vinovich, it is not a reviewable play. Now, I don't know why you had to ask that last one. Everybody who knows anything knows that that's not a reviewable play. But, I mean, it tells you Vinovich was just saying, it was a judgment call, and the ref made the call, and that's the call. And to your point.
But really bad questions.
That's what I said. You know, that's why I'm offering up.
Why are you?
I am offering up to be the pool reporter for the SEC men's basketball tournament. Well, for the championship game, not the other games, because I might not go to the other games. But the championship game, I am offering, because I will ask the question, because I would sit down with Bill Vinovich, and I would ask, Bill, your staff just blew the game. How does it feel? You know, that's kind of the – because that's the question everyone wants to know, right? Like, how does it feel blowing the NFC Championship game, Bill Vinovich? Your crew just screwed up the whole thing. An illegitimate NFC champion. We now have an illegitimate Super Bowl. Might have an illegitimate Super Bowl champion because your guy screwed it up. How's it feel, Bill Vinovich?
By the way, just thought question. Of this. I mean, I picked the Rams to win the whole thing.
Against you pick the Rams over the Patriots. I've already thought of that.
6 months ago.
Dude,
and
Floyd
got
did.
It.
Floyd, illegitimately, but Floyd did predict before the season that the Rams would beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Now, I picked the Patriots also to get to the
if
Super
I
Bowl.
Get the, no, you did not.
You did.
No.
I picked them to lose to Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
What about Washington? You pick Washington.
To represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
I don't know who you pick Washington to win something.
I picked him early. To win a wild card and get in the playoffs.
Oh, no.
It's right there, Josh. It's right there in my mailbox in this studio to go
great.
Investigate so that Floyd can't do this because Floyd likes to do this. Floyd likes to call me
I
out
like
for revisionist history.
This.
And I did not pick the Redskins to do anything more than get a wild card. And it was looking good until Alex Smith broke his leg. So, you know, that's me, and that's, you know, it's kind of my thing, and it's you know, that's how I roll with it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Do not make me bring your six-pack pick record into this discussion.
What about this weekend? Had to be better this weekend. I have no idea what it was.
Well, I don't know what the over-unders ended up cashing out to be. But
overs and unders.
You know, I don't. But I, but I picked the Patriots. You picked the Chiefs, so I won that one. And I picked the Saints, and you picked the Rams. But I don't know what the number was on that, so who knows. 615-737-1025, live from Corner Pub in Brentwood. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Congratulations. Let's hand this trophy over here to Coach Belichick. Yeah, this was what a memorable game. Wild. You dominated the first half. Chiefs came out, looked like a different team in the second half. What was the difference there in the last part of that game in overtime?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to give all the credit to the players. This is a really tough, mentally and physically, tough group coming in here. It's a great, tough place to play. And these guys just competed and competed. I don't know. We said 60 minutes, but how long did it take? 70?
Yeah,
whatever it was. I mean, they just competed against another great football team. And congratulations to the players. They worked hard all week and competed really hard today, and they deserve it. You can't buy these. You got to earn them, and they earned them.
Bill Belichick, and I don't know if you noticed this, Floyd, Bill getting a little emotional there at the end talking to Jim Nance.
I didn't notice it, but I wasn't paying attention.
You could hear it right when he was talking about the players and how proud he was of the players, and, you know, this is about the players and all of that. And you could kind of hear it a little bit in Bill's voice. You know, Bill was getting, you know, a little choked up. Outside of the horrific penalty that wasn't called in the Rams game, which is a big deal, so I'm not trying to sugarcoat that. What a great day of games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just want to take a step back. And I mean, the TV was on yesterday from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Just edge of your seat football the whole time.
Two championship games into overtime. I mean, as close as you could possibly get them. I mean, it was, I thought it was thrilling. It was great. I mean, that's... And it was funny because when we looked at it, we said, okay, here are the four best teams in the league, which is the way it should be. Okay, fine, and let's see it. And then they go out and perform the way they performed, and you go, yeah, these are the four best. I'll take them.
Well, I just loved a couple of things. Number one, we were close, in my opinion, to having blowouts in both games. If the Saints scored two touchdowns on their first two drives instead of the Rams defense holding them to field goals, that game's a blowout. Because Jared Goff was rattled early in that game. And the Rams as a team were rattled early in that game. And if they had gone up 14-0 the Saints, I don't know if the Rams get back into it. The touchdown drive right before the half was huge for the Rams to get back in the game. The other side of it, if Tom Brady doesn't throw that interception on the goal line, the Patriots probably walk into Arrowhead and rout Kansas City. You know, probably like 35-14 kind of game. And so one little play here or there is the difference in a blowout. And, wow, the Patriots really went into Kansas City and took it to them and to one of the best AFC championship games ever.
Yeah, I mean, it was a special day. And those games, I mean, I don't know how you could, you know, even if you didn't enjoy football, you'd have to sit and watch those games simply because they were so close. And it was, you know, you were chewing your fingernails down to the knuckle. I mean, it was tense because you knew at some point in time somebody was going to make a mistake or somebody was going to make a play or there was going to be a penalty throw or whatever it was.
Or not throw.
That was going to make a difference in the game.
So they had one play where Burkhead ran in the touchdown right before the end of regulation. And the Chiefs had one timeout left, and there was about 45 seconds. And Burkhead runs it in from like the 5 for a touchdown. And I'm thinking to myself, Belichick obviously is happy that they've just taken the lead. But I think deep down inside, Bill wanted Burkhead to get stopped short so that the Chiefs would have to use their last timeout and then scored the touchdown, like in a perfect Belichick world, it would have been Chiefs have to use their last time out, then they score the touchdown to go ahead. Because I'm looking at it, 43 seconds in a timeout. I'm like, that is too much time for Mahomes. You knew Mahomes was going to go right down the field and kick a field goal. I was just holding on to my breath, hoping Mahomes didn't go down there and score a touchdown.
Well, they have plays set up for, you know, situations just like that where you want to milk the clock as long as you can before you do hopefully score.
Was that play one of them?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, I don't think that they would tell Burkhead to go down short of scoring a touchdown. I mean, you're still losing the game at that point. The most important thing is that you take the lead. That is easily the most important aspect. But then secondly, I'm just saying, like, in a perfect world, Belichick would have liked it to be, you know, maybe more like 29 seconds and no timeout as opposed to 43 seconds and a timeout.
Right. I would agree.
So then why didn't they run the play to milk the clock?
Well, maybe they did.
And then Burkhead just ran it in there?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want Burkhead to go there and take a knee down at the one-yard line.
Nobody's there to tackle you. It's hard to stop. Okay, and fall over.
What'd you think of Mahomes? Because he didn't look very good yesterday.
I think that whole thing is set up just for what we saw, which makes it a little bit tough, in my opinion, to win consistently in the upper echelon games. I mean, he still went out there as poor as he played, threw for three touches, you know, and threw for, what was it, 286 yards mm-hmm. or something along those lines. So, I mean, he was productive. It's just, I mean, they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't hold on to the ball. I mean, everything that New England did was designed to keep the ball away from him, and it worked. I mean, yeah, I think New England had the ball, 42 minutes, which meant that Kansas City had, you know, whatever it is, 19 or 18. It's hard to do a lot in the NFL when you only have the ball 18 minutes. New England converted on, 13 of 17 third downs.
Oh, they killed them on third down.
It was unbelievable.
Especially early on that first drive where they took up 9 minutes, they hit, five third downs.
Well, I think they did a great job of just, you know, going in there again. I think, in my opinion, it was to, okay, we're going to milk the clock. We're going to convert third downs. We're going to, you know, have long drives. We're going to score touchdowns. And pretty much they were able to do it.
We are live today at Corner Pub in Brentwood. Once again, come on out and join us. Of course, the Preds game is starting at 2 o'clock, a special Martin Luther King Jr. Day game for them at Colorado, which means, of course, we're going to go a little bit earlier since I think Willie and Darren are kind of busy right now getting ready for the game. So, you know, they move us down here, and as I said, I kind of like it.
Whatever we can do to help.
Hey, I kind of like it. As we are live again out at Corner Pub in Brentwood once again, and we are registering people to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Company Brewing, the Yeehaw Brewing Company bus trip to St. Louis as the Predators take on the Blues in St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th. So come on out and register to win. There were a couple stars yesterday, but the one question I guess I don't understand even after yesterday. I want to get to that coming up next. Jared and Floyd live at Corner Pub in Brentwood on a Monday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.